we're going to talk about Perek Dalet Pasuk Hav Beis Asher Nasi Yechata. We have a situation where the king sins. He does one of the things, the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he tells you not to do, and he's guilty of doing so. So again, we're dealing with a king doing something wrong. So all these psukim are dealing with these types of issues. First, we go through what happens when a Kohen Gadol makes a mistake. Then we go through what happens when Sanhedrin makes a mistake. And then it goes to the Nasi, this guy over here, which is the king, and we end with a regular person's chait, what each person does and what goes on over here. By each of the parshios, each one of them, it uses the word in. If the guy sins, meaning if the Kohen Gadol sins, if the Ada, the Sanhedrin makes the sin, if a person does something that's wrong. But here, when specifically talking about the king, it uses the word asher. It's almost as if to say, when he sins. He's going to sin. We know it's going to happen. So now when he sins, what should we do? Why is it that by the Nasi, by the king, it's different as if we're saying he's definitely going to do so? Why does it change by him? So first of all, Targum HaKadosh translates the word asher as in, to get around the issue. He says asher is the same thing. He doesn't explain why it specifically changes around the wording, but he does say it's the same thing. Targum Yonas, however, says the word bizimna, at the time when the king sins. Now here's the shot over here, and try to understand this. The word asher means that which, okay? Ka'asher means when. The way that Targum Yonas Menuziel is explaining this is he's trying to say that this asher is missing a chaf. Ka'asher, when it happens that he sins, this is what you do. The Ramban says the same way. He's only telling us what to do when this situation comes up, like any other situation. The Chizkuni and the Rashbam say the same. And they try to say, they switch around the wording a little bit. It's really Nasi Asher Yechata. The Nasi that sins. The Nasi when it comes to this point. But Lavdapka, that it's going to happen. It's not that it has to happen. It's just, if it happens, that's what's going to be there. So all of them are basically around the same side of saying that it's not absolute. It's a good possibility that this is going to be the result of what's going to be. Fine. Period. That's what we have over there. In Gemara Horius, we have a Gemara Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara Yud Amud Beis says a Braisa that I might have thought, here's the Havamina. The Havamina is, I might think that it would be a Gezerah that the Nasi should sin and bring a korban for it. That every year, the Nasi, the king, would get up and do something wrong. He would immediately sin and then bring a korban because he did something wrong. That was the happening of what you would have thought. Kalash Shmalon says, the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol, in. It says, if by the Kohen Gadol. Just like over there, it only applies if he sins. So too with the king, it only applies if he sins. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. We are going to tell the king to sin. And we tell you not to. We tell you not to think that way. Don't do that, king, because of the Kohen Gadol. What is the connection between them? What in the world is the Havamina between this? So the Torah Tamim, or Baruch Hashem, gives an answer to this question. He says the following. You think it's automatic that whoever becomes a Nasi is going to have the opportunity to sin and throw it upon him. I'll give you an example. There's a concept called Saras HaBayis, leprosy of the house. Now we know that the Gemara tells us it never existed, never will exist, etc. But does anybody remember what happens when you knock down the house because of Saras HaBayis?
Treasures.
There are Mori treasures that come out from there, right? You get a treasure that comes out. It's an opportunity to bring about something greater, even though it's something terrible. Saras HaBayis is a hechi timsa. It's an ability to get to something more. By doing this, you will get that. That's an amazing idea. The exact same thing will apply over here regarding the Nasi's sin. It's a huge opportunity for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can learn a huge lesson. Even the king brings korbanos. Even the king is going to work out himself. What an unbelievable lesson that's written over here. So that's the idea. Maybe, this is a great opportunity, just like Saras HaBayis, and the king should utilize that opportunity to improve Klal Yisrael for Klal Yisrael's sake. Maybe that should be Kamash Malan. No. If we wanted to teach that lesson, we teach it by the Kohen Gadol. Now tell me, smarter wise, why would you choose the Kohen Gadol over the king? Why would you want this lesson to be learned from the Kohen Gadol instead of the king?
Because he's the one who goes in the first
occasion. Yeah. It's not about the place. What's it about?
Well, the spiritual leader.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Kohen Gadol is the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. If he sins, then the people will think, oh, wow, anyone can sin and everybody has to do tshuva. That's the lesson that they would learn, they would take from the situation of a Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol sins, there's certainly something that we can learn from. But if the king sins, do people look at him as the spiritual leader of the generation? No. He's just another guy. He's a guy that happens to be very powerful and a guy that's in church. That's all they look at it as. They don't see him as something greater. They see it as something different. Since it's written by a Nasi and not the Kohen Gadol, that changes. That changes. We're not going to learn the lesson that needed to be learned over here, and that's the Pshat and this message. Maybe you think that's what you have to do. Kamashmal, you wouldn't think that way since the Torah Tamima. However, it could be that it is very likely the Nasi is going to sin. It's almost like a guarantee based on what happened to him. The Rambam and Pirkei Avot says, Mishnah Tess and Perek Aleph says, if one chooses to be a Rav, get ready for opportunities to sin like you've never seen before in your life. Lashon Hara is all out there, trying to find out other people's secrets, digging them up, causing other people to speak about Lashon Hara. It's 100% true. There's Nisyonos. So many people want to talk to you, and there's issues in paskening incorrectly, which are obvious if a person thinks about it. The Rav has so many opportunities to mess up, to not say something correctly. That's what we're learning from the pasuk. See, it's one thing, right, where all these things get thrown into your lap. It's another thing, says the Torah Tamima, where it's, he's a Nasi. He's got to be in charge. He's got to do certain things. He will sin. And the Kli Akers really says it in the same type of vein. Im is a suffix. It's very rare for a holy person like the Kohen Gadol to sin. I'm putting this in our terms. It's very rare to find Rav Chaim Kanievsky with a chet. What's Rav Chaim Kanievsky going to do? What kind of chet are we looking at over here? Is he not going to daven? He's got people around him all the time. If he didn't wake up one time for Shacharis, you know what they would do? They would gather together in his living room and make a minion there, because they'd automatically assume Rav Chaim Kanievsky isn't feeling very well. They'd make a minion. They might even make a minion in his bedroom in order to make sure that he heard Kaddish and he heard Kedusha. How is Rav Chaim Kanievsky? You think there's a chance that he's not making a bracha on food? That he's going to forget to bench? We're dealing with a person who's cool. How is that shaykh? A Kohen Gadol sinning is so... The fact that a majority of Klal Yisrael is going to sin because of a decision that was made by Sanhedrin, which was incorrect, is so rare. It's so impossible to consider that such a thing's going to happen. No way. It's not going to happen. A Kohen Gadol and the whole Klal Yisrael is going to sin. That Sanhedrin's going to mess up that badly. Not going to happen. However, a Yachid, it's likely. Therefore, it says not only the word im, but the word ki as well. Ki also can mean when. There's something like that, but the Nasi is more prone to failure than any individual human being. He's got an ego. He's got to rule the nation. He sometimes has to guess wrong in order to usually guess right. There are situations where the Nasi is going to put himself in that unfortunately are not going to be the best thing, and that's the Asher. The Asher is telling you the Nasi is going to have to sin because of the position that he's in. The Rabbeinu Bachai talks about it as well. When you feed your ego by being the leader, and everyone knows you're the leader, what do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think is going to be the result? This is the result. That's the idea behind it. And Rabbi Victor Miller says, Asher Nasi Yachatol, the Rosh Yeshivas are Ani, about the ego. It's about me. Rabbi Victor Miller tries to understand and tries to explain that's the shot behind the Nasi. That a Nasi is always about himself, so to speak. And then comes Rashi. Yeah, what's up, brother? See, that is almost exactly what the kings are told when they're made into kings. You think that this is a bracha, you think this is a good thing. This is not just an opportunity for success. This is a very likely opportunity for you to do tremendous chatayim, to do things that are wrong. Shaul HaMelech was a perfect human being. We're talking about a person, perfect. Literally, he was greater than David HaMelech, even though David HaMelech was made king less than 2 years later. He was a perfect human being and the greatest person in Klal Yisrael, head and shoulders above everybody else. There was no one like him. And when he became king, something just turned it off a little bit. Something went a little bit wrong. And we don't say that about Shaul HaMelech normally, but the Navi shows us. There's something about being a king that you lose the position there. David HaMelech was an awesome, a perfect person. He becomes king and things go a little bit off. He counts them wrong. The issue with Bathsheba. What happens with his kids are all... It's a crazy situation. You don't willingly put yourself in that position without realizing what could very well happen to you and your children and your whole family of what could be over there. So therefore, it's because of that reason that, yeah, they're forewarned. This is not just an easy thing. I forget the Gemara. If I look it up, if I could look it up, maybe I would look it up later on today. There's a Gemara where Rabbi Gamliel puts two people in charge. It's not the Gemara in Horius and Daphne Gimel Obeys or anybody was thinking of that, but Rabbi Gamliel puts two people in charge. And they say, they look over him and they're like smiling. They said, you think I'm giving you a good thing? I'm giving you a responsibility on your shoulders. You don't realize what you're getting. Becoming just a rub of a shoal is a huge, huge responsibility that if you utilize improperly, something terrible can happen. That's the idea behind it. That's the idea. Now Rashi says, the Gemara in Horius Yudim Abayis, he learns it in a different way. He doesn't learn Asher as in when. He learns Asher as in the word Ashrei. How would you translate the word Ashrei? Praiseworthy is usually how they do it in art scroll. I would go with happy. Happy. Ashrei Am Shakachalo. Happy is the nation that this is what they get. Ashrei Yoshevei Secha. Happy are the people that get to sit in your base medrash all day long. Rashi understands it as Ashrei. Happy is the generation whose Nasi admits his errors and is willing to bring a korban for his mistakes. Happy is such a generation. How many nations can say that? How many people can say that? That their leader is willing to admit a mistake. We've got a guy running for president who won't admit any mistakes that he's ever made in his life. There's no way. How many people are willing to do that? Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer. We should admit our mistakes and bring korbanos. He's doing it for something that's going to be a shokik. Something that he did accidentally. It's a chait. It's something he did wrong, but it was accidental. He forgot something. Kal v'chomer. He would do tshuva for zidonos. That's the idea. The chidah adds on. Happy are we that the nasi is holding himself back from doing worse things and only doing shokigin. He's only over on one show gig. Happy are we that he's willing to just do that and that's that. It's a crazy idea, says Rashi, but it's taking it completely out of context. It's not that Asher means when, it's that Asher means happy. This is what he's going to do. Yalkut Lekato brings from a sefer called the Or Yahel. I don't know what that is exactly. I remember seeing this sefer years ago. But the Or Yahel says, Usvivav Nis'aram Na'od. Those who are around God, it's very stormy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extra medactic on such a person. He's on a high pedestal. The expectations are really high to the point where even the smallest, most insignificant sins are mighty to such a person of such stature. That's the problem of what happens with such a guy. Rav Schwab, uses this idea to explain a Gemara Chagigia Dawud. You know, there's a Gemara that says Yeshaya cursed Bnei Yisrael with 18 curses. 18 different curses. But he didn't feel like he did anything until he mentioned the last two. When he said the last two, and he said that the young men are going to lose all of the respect for the elders, and then they'll also lose respect for the very honorable people. Once he said that, then Yeshaya's like, oh, now I got it off my chest. Now I'm good. Now I'm good. And that's when he stops cursing Bnei Yisrael. So Schwab asked a simple question, which is Rav Schwab's way. What? Why is Rav Schwab cursing? Why, Rav Schwab? Why is Yeshaya cursing people? Why is he getting up there cursing people? And he's like, hey, you know what? You should have young people making fun of old people. And then he's like, oh, that's better. And then he stops. What's he cursing people for? That's necessary? And why would he stop with that? What does that mean? Well, what in the world is going on in this Gemara? What's Yeshaya doing? So the answer is, he says, Yeshaya saw in his vision there was going to be a time when younger people were no more than Ami Aratzim. And that's it. And they looked at all the Talmidei Chachamim and stared at them and were waiting for them to mess up even a tiny little bit. Waiting for a mistake. Ready to jump on it. As soon as they make a mistake, they're going to jump on it and say, see? Look at what that rabbi did. That rabbi messed up. See? Even he messes up. What it's saying is that Yeshaya saw this is what's going to be at the end of days. Yeshaya didn't want to curse Klal Yisrael, but he's seeing what's going to be in the future, and their lives are going to be cursed lives. That's what it's going to be like. Thought Yeshaya, you know what? This is a terrible situation. It's a terrible situation. But you know what this is going to do? All the Talmidei Chachamim are going to be more careful about what they do in life. If every Talmid Chacham knows that somebody is looking at them, looking for them to make a mistake, they're no longer going to allow themselves to make mistakes. They won't do it. I know that somebody's going to be looking at me, waiting for me to mess up. And as soon as I mess up, that guy is going to jump on me and say, see, look at what he did. So I won't mess up. I won't let it happen. I'm going to work on myself over and over and over again to say to myself, that's not going to be. Said Yeshaya, perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what we should be happy about. We should be happy that not only the Nasi is bringing a korban for his sins, it's not about the korban for his sins, it's that the Nasi is able to learn a lesson from the eyes, from the staring of the younger generation, that they're able to become even greater Gedolim. And if they're even greater Gedolim, they could bring about Mashiach. They could bring about a better Tikkun for the people. So you hear the pshat? It's not just happy is the generation that the great men are bringing korbanos. It's happy that in a generation where the people are looking at the old men and wondering if they're doing something wrong, the old men will make sure they're not going to do anything wrong. Nothing will happen. That's the beauty of what happens over here. Ramosha says, if it's so difficult, stand straight and narrow, then why is there a mitzvah to make a king? So Ephraim was asking something similar before. He said, why would anybody want to be a king? The answer is simply put, your gaiva will for sure overcome it. Or they were warned about this beforehand. But why is there a mitzvah to make a king? Is there a mitzvah to make a person sin? Why is that allowed? Says Ramosha, how could we allow such a person to be set up for failure and to become a Rasha? How could we do that? So he answers, there is a milah to having a king. Does anybody... I'm not going to ask because we're not girls and we didn't go to seminary. But if you went to seminary, did you ever do Shoftim? Not the Parsha. There's a Navi known as Shoftim. It's got the same name. I know it's crazy, right? But have you ever done Shoftim? Shoftim? Yeah? Okay. Do you remember the end? That's the problem. You never finished the book. Okay, that's fine. It's a good ending. At the end, you've got Pasol Micha, okay, and Pilagish Begiva. Two terrible situations. Horrid situations. Pasol Micha, where there's a huge idol that gets stolen by a whole shevet from one guy, right? The Pasol of Micha. With Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe going and serving by it. And then Pilagish Begiva is nothing to talk about. Terrible, terrible situations. In both cases, the Navi starts and ends with the words, the Yomi Mahem, in those days, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, there was no king among Klal Yisrael, Ish Kol Yasher Bein Av Yasa. Every man did whatever they wanted to do. People just did whatever they wanted. Everybody did just stop whatever they felt like doing. Says Rav Moshe, it's better to have a situation when there's a king, even if the king will sin because of the people being affected by the fear and awe of the king, than to have a situation where there's no king at all. When you have a situation where there's no king at all, things go horribly wrong. Pilegesh Begiva wrong. Pesel Micha wrong. You have to have a king. Even though we're setting a guy up for failure, it's better to have that person sin and Klal Yisrael to get something better from it than to give a situation or make a situation where Klal Yisrael is going to fall apart. Ramosha says, it teaches us, if there's two paths in front of a person, okay, two paths, both of them are terrible, both of them are bad, you choose the one that is less bad. Now, I know you think to yourself, well, yeah, of course I choose the one that's less bad. But that means you're choosing a path in which you're going to sin. You know, the guy that comes up to you when you're dealing with Bala Tshuva, only with Bala Tshuva, and the guy comes up to you and says, which one's worse? Is it worse for me to marry, to be together with a person who's Anita, or is it worse for me to be together with a person who's not Jewish? And you answer, neither. There's a third choice here. Right? If it was a serious situation, that's Ramosha's, not this situation, that's a weird one. But Ramosha's situation is, you have two paths in front of you. There's going to be a chait. There's going to be something wrong. Are you allowed to even choose the path with less chatoim? Because that means you're going to sin. Are you allowed to do that? The answer is yes. As a suggestion, I don't know what it is. You have a kohen, and there's two paths. One goes through two cemeteries, one goes through one cemetery. So can he has to go down one. He has to get to the other side. He's like a chicken. So he has to go. So what does he do? He has to choose the one with one path. If there's no choice, choose the one with less of errors. So that's something that needs a psak. And Ramosha is saying, from this idea of making a king, even though we know he's going to sin, you got to make a psak. You have to choose this. That's that. A side note, I am not mothering you to do chatayim. Okay? That's not me. I'm just saying, there's for sure a third path. Okay? You're just not looking hard enough. I'm just saying that that's the idea that learns out from over here. That's the concept. Rosh Shurbach also asks why we say, Ashrei Hador. Ashrei Ador. Think about that for a second. Happy is the generation that the king does chatoyim and is able to bring a korban for his chatoyim. Why is the generation happy? What makes it so happy about the generation? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gives an answer to this question. He says there are leaders who act in a terrible way, and the people around them encourage them and flatter them, saying like, oh no, you're doing good, everything's perfectly fine, don't worry about it. You know, like a President Obama type of situation, right, where they're helping about, saying like, everything's going well, no, you're doing perfectly fine, and making up reasons why, until the leader himself accepts it and thinks that he's mamish worthy of everything that they're saying to him. I want people to go back for a little bit. Do you remember that President Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize in his first year in the Oval Office for doing nothing? You know what that is? That's the definition of chanifa, which is flattery. Flattering is, well, we're hoping you do a better job, so we assume you're going to deserve this in the end. Ha ha! Well, that's on them, right? The joke is entirely on them. He didn't do anything. He did absolutely nothing. Way to go, Middle East President Obama. Right? But the idea, the concept that goes around here, where Yisrael Salanter was saying, when a Nasi realizes, and this is the idea behind it, when we see that a Nasi realizes he's done something wrong and does vidui for it, he does vidui. He feels bad. That means no one's flattering him. That means no one's telling him, don't worry, you're probably doing the right thing. People instead are looking at him and saying, yeah, you were wrong. Yeah, you should do tshuva. And he did it. So Ashrei Ador, not only Ashrei Nasi, not only is the Nasi happy that he's able to do vidui and he's able to do charat, he's able to do tshuva. The generation is a good generation. They've led the Nasi to the position where if he did something wrong, he knows he did something wrong. No one's flattering him. No one's doing it. There's no false sense of security over here. That's Ashrei Ador. That's where Sternbach's line based on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The Tali Oros in the parties also bring another idea from the Ger Rebbe. This is brilliant. This is a remez to David HaMelech. It's a pure remez to David HaMelech, who did something that was wrong and did tshuva afterward. You know what the Gemara says about David HaMelech? In Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, it says, David should never have done what he did. Should never have done it. But Mina Shamayim, he was allowed to do a sin in order for people to learn from him that when he does tshuva, they would say to themselves, we should do tshuva as well. Asher Nasi Yechata is referring to David and Bathsheba. It's a remez to David and Bathsheba. That David HaMelech is going to, I'm sorry?
It's like the eagle.
Very similar. It's the same Gemara that goes into the eagle Azov that was almost like a Pesach to do tshuva. It's the same thing here. David HaMelech is the Nasi. He is the Nasi. He is going to do something which is questionable, wrong, a chet with Bathsheba, and in that sense he's going to have to do tshuva for the rest of his life, even though it was only technically 12 years altogether, and the people are going to learn from it and they're going to say, wow, and maybe the lesson won't be learned during his lifetime. It was instead learned by Shlomo Melech's lifetime. But nonetheless, David HaMelech would be there. What's up? There's no question. Kol Omer David Chata Eino Elatoa. Anybody that says David sinned is only mistaken. This might be the reason why. I don't remember if it's the Marsha, the Ben Ishkai, one of the Pirushim on that Gemara says the reason why it wasn't considered a chait is because Hashem put it in his hands to do. It would have been a chait had David HaMelech been of the right mind to make the right decision at that time. But he wasn't. It was forced upon him, so to speak, thrust upon him that he had to do it in order for the situation to come out this way. And that's what it means. Anybody says that David HaMelech was involved and purposely did a chait because he forgot that this was Usher, or he forgot that Bathsheba was married. That's silly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in the position for this to happen so we can learn from even a person like David HaMelech. Even he, we can learn a lesson from that. What's up, Josh?
Being forced to do this, why
do you
have to do tshuva?
It's more of that's already a question that's asked based on this Gemara and in that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The answer is that there's always a reason why it has to happen to you. It didn't have to happen to David. It could have happened to somebody else. But David HaMelech, through some type of avera goreres avera, whatever that means, something happened that allowed it to be him. He was the one that had to be chosen this way. So unfortunately with him, Shlomo Melech, that didn't happen to you. Shlomo Melech, it didn't happen to you. Chizkiah, it never happened to you. It happened to David HaMelech for us to learn this lesson. And for that reason, David HaMelech is great enough to deserve it, and yet did something for it to happen to him as opposed to anybody else. Now we're getting into a little more esoteric, but that's the idea, Taliyahu said, and that's that. Listen, we have to understand, you got to be very careful when talking about David HaMelech. David HaMelech's not like a dumb guy where you're able to look at it and you're just like, yeah, like anybody, you know, if David HaMelech's able to be together with an Ishish, then it could happen to anybody. It's not not pshat. There obviously was a get involved. That's what Tosfos says in Gittin, and it's obvious. There had to be some type of get involved, right? The only kasha is, was there an extra heter that was relied upon by David HaMelech to do what he did with Bathsheba, or was it just some stop? That's not an answer. That's not something that I can answer right now. It's a difficult thing to be able to go through. The Torah Shlema goes through this idea. It's truly an unbelievable idea over here. The Chassam Sofer says it as well over here. You should have to look through the Chassam Sofer. He says, Shem will come. Even now, he considers Hashem to be his God. And that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk used the wording, often we call mitzvah Hashem Elokav. Not Elokim, from Hashem, his God. That's part of it. He still is. He may have fallen prey to sins, but he still considers Hashem his God. He still realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. That's the idea behind it. Now, I'm not going to be able to go through all of this over here. There's an Ibn Ezra and an Or HaChaim HaKadosh that also go through. It's connected to the Parsha above. The real pshat comes from the Paneach Raza. The Paneach Raza says the last words of the previous parsha, right before we get into this Asher Nasi Yechata, is Chatas HaKahal Hi. It's a sin of the generation, of the congregation. They sinned, and therefore they have to bring a korban. And then, Asher Nasi Yechata. When the Nasi sins, etc. Says the Paneach Raza, it's not that the Nasi sinned. He didn't do anything wrong. He saw the Kahal do something wrong and didn't make a machal. It's like me being the Mashgiach of Skokie Yeshiva and having a bunch of people that don't show up for Shacharis, and me being like, eh, what difference does it make? You better believe I'm going to scream at them. You better believe I'm going to look at them. Because it's on my head if I don't. It's on me. Now you might say to yourself, why are you getting involved with this? I don't know why I took the job. But at the end of the day, it's on me. And I have to do something. And if I don't, then I'm the one that's responsible. See, I'm not considering myself a king. I do consider myself a god sometimes. Lowercase g. But I'm not considering myself a king. But nonetheless, if a person has the ability to make a machal, to protest, to say what you're doing is wrong, and doesn't do so, he takes on those chatoyim. In that sense, when it's chata sakal he, if the nasi doesn't get involved immediately and say you did something wrong, Asher Nasi Yechata. Then the Nasi has done something wrong. What did he do? He didn't protest against those people. He didn't help the people that had done something wrong. The kings of Malchus Yisrael are all blamed for the Egle Azov that they left around from the times of Yerovam ben Nevat. Up until Hoshea ben Ela, which was the last of the kings of Malchus Yisrael, every single one, we say, well, why didn't they kick him away? They're called Rishayim by Tanakh. Now, it could be that they actually were evil people. My Havamin is, if they made it into Tanakh, they're awesome tzaddikim, and you would have no idea that he's not the biggest Rosh Yeshiva. Even though it seems that he's doing evil things, in my mind, that's how I picture it as. And if those people, the only thing that they did wrong is they kept allowing people to do Avodah Zarah, a king has to stop it. And if a king doesn't stop it, he's held responsible. That's the idea behind what the Paneach Raza is saying. It's entirely, implicitly, they're allowing them to serve idols. That's what's happening over here. The Meshech Chochma, it says that's why it's by the Nasi and not by the Kohen Gadol. See, if the Kohen Gadol sins, then the people will automatically blame themselves. They'll say, oh man, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't have sinned. It's for sure me. It's Ashma Sa'am. It's my own guilt that I should be around. It's my fault that the Kohen Gadol did something. The people will have introspection and wonder, how could it be that the Kohen Gadol sinned? When the Nasi sins, people are like, well, yeah, I hate the man. Right? I can't believe, yeah, of course he did. Because that's the way we are. That's the way we are. That's why the Torah tells us there's so many different warnings by the king. Can't have too many wives, can't have too much money, can't have too many horses. It's an obvious idea. It's just too much access. The people wouldn't blame themselves at all. In order for the people to realize that it's partly their fault, we need it to be by the Nasi and not by the Kohen Gadol. That's a brilliant shot from the Meshech Chochma. Nonetheless, we do find it. We do find that sometimes the people sin and that causes the king to do something wrong. We really find it. When David HaMelech counted the people incorrectly, and he counted them, instead of counting them by things, he counted them by head. And Yoav got very upset at him. Yoav, the general of the army, said, what are you doing? Why are you counting them by head? And David HaMelech made a mistake. It's Akasha, and again, same Gemara comes up, Shabbos Nun Heyom Abayz. How could David HaMelech have made a mistake? Is that really a mistake of counting them by head, etc.? It's because he said, Zmiros HaYilichu Kecha. The way the Meshech Chochma is learning it is because there was a problem when they went out to war. There was an issue that had happened over there. And because of the Chatzis HaKal, that caused the Nasi to sin. That's the idea that we're bringing about here, that it was that idea over here. The Chidah goes the exact opposite way. When the Nasi is worthy, the nation doesn't sin. If the Nasi is not worthy, then what happens to the nation? nation definitely sins. That's the word asher. It's going to happen. If the Nasi sins, it's going to be the chatas akal comes with it. So instead of being chatas akal he that causes the Nasi to sin, it's the Nasi sins, which is chatas akal he, which leads to the chatas akal. Okay, there's a tremendous lesson for the Baal Shem Tov over here, and I give you a homework to be able to read it yourself. Instead, that's at the very end right over there. I'm going to end with a Chafetz Chaim. There was an Avreich who lived in Radin, who learned by the yeshiva in Radin. He went to the Chafetz Chaim and he said to the Chafetz Chaim, listen, I see that there are many poor people around here. I want to become wealthy. I want to go out into business, make a lot of money, and I'm going to make sure to support all the Talmidei Chachamim of this city and everywhere. If I become wealthy, I know I'm going to be ready for it and I'm going to pay for everybody around. The Chafetz Chaim said, shook his head, you're not going to do it. You guys are ready, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm telling you, you're not going to do it. So the guy went out, and he did it. He became very, very wealthy, and he moved to St. Petersburg, right? This is, you know, Russia, somewhere, right? And he went there, and in the end, he became one of the stingiest, miserly people you could ever imagine. So Chafetz Chaim came to St. Petersburg, and this guy came to visit him. So he went up to him, and he said, Rebbe, I've become so wealthy, Baruch Hashem, things are working out so well for me, I'm doing this business and that business, whatever. And the Chafetz Chaim said, and what's with tzedakah? How much tzedakah are you giving? And the guy hung his head in shame. He knew he wasn't giving enough. He wasn't giving enough. So the Chafetz Chaim looked at him, and sort of like made the silence a little bit more awkward. Sort of like stared at him the whole time. So the guy finally turned to the Chafetz Chaim, and he said, Rebbe, just tell me. Was I lying to myself years ago when I told you that I was going to do it, or has something changed? Am I a different person? I mamish thought I was going to be able to do it, but I can't. I just can't get rid of the tzedakah. Which one is it? Was I lying to myself, or was I telling the truth to myself? I just, you know, I'm a different person now. Chafetz Chaim gave him mashal. So it's always good when there's a story within a story. That's why I said it, because you got a story within a story, right? Chafetz Chaim gave him mashal. This is not the exact mashal that the Chafetz Chaim gave. I just adapted it to our surroundings because the Chafetz Chaim probably didn't have this situation. There was a first-year guy who came to Meir Shearim to buy some gummies, okay? Gummy bears and worms and stuff like that. So the store owner asked him how much he wanted. Obviously, he checked the heksher, and it was definitely from London, so it had the bedats from London, so everything was all good, right? So now he sits there, and he's like, all right, I want to buy some gummies. So the guy says, how much do you want? And the guy says, give me the biggest bag you've got, kind sir. I want you to put all the gummies inside that bag. So he takes like a huge stack, and he starts filling all the gummies. And he's like, do you want more? And the guy's like, yeah, yeah, fill it up. So he gets more, right? And he puts more in, and he puts more in. And he fills the entire sack, and this huge sack filled with gummies, where he's sitting there. And he's like, all right, the sack is filled. Is that what you want? So the guy's like, the first year guy's like, yeah, 100%, that's what I want. Put it on the scale, right? So he puts it on the scale, right? And he says, all right, that'll be 500 shekel. So the guy's like, what? I only have 100 shek. So he's a true first-year guy, right? So he's like, and the store owner looks at him and he's like, I don't understand. If you only had 100 shekel, why didn't you tell me to stop at 100 shekel? He's like, no, it's your fault. You should have known that that was way too much to spend on gummies. You shouldn't have put that much in. It's your fault, Mr. Store Owner, for putting all that stuff in. So the store owner looks over and he's like, what are you talking about? You're the one who knows how much money you have. I just listen to the customer. That's all I do. I'm not doing anything more than that. You're the one who's supposed to realize how much money you have and how much you're supposed to do. You knew this wasn't going to be free. How can you expect that you're going to fill up the bag and that everything's going to be free? Said to the Chafetz Chaim to this guy, the more money you make, the more the bag feels empty and you feel like you could use more and more and more. You mamish thought when you had a little bit of money and you were giving miser that you would be able to do the same thing. When you had a lot of money, you'll give the same thing. I'll be able to give miser. It's not true. The bigger the bag gets, the heavier it is, the harder it is to be able to give that miser off. You think you become wealthy, you're going to be like that rich man that gives a ton of tzedakah, and that rich man that gives tzedakah. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Well, you should have told me. There was no way to explain it to you. There's no way to explain it to you how the tzedakah grows the more you have the money. So you asked me the question. Did you mean it? You meant it. You weren't lying to yourself. But it changes as you get more and more. That's what ends up happening, and that's what happened to you. That's the concept, says the Chafetz Chaim, of what ends up happening with our ideal over here. A nasi is a normal person is fine. A nasi is a nasi messes up. That's what happens. You're put in that position, that's what's going to happen. That's the idea behind it. Okay, we're going to stop at this.